9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
A new highly transmissible COVID variant emerges in South Africa, and the WHO scrambles to assess. Plus, what inflation? Individual investors keep pumping money into growth stocks. And on this busy shopping day, looking at the changing relationship between online and in-person retail.
Whenever he opens a store within a 10-mile radius of that store, online sales really go up a lot.
It's Black Friday on this November 26th. I'm Peter Granitz at the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The World Health Organization has planned a meeting today to possibly declare a new variant of concern. It comes a day after South African health officials warned of new restrictions to contain a strain of COVID-19 that's believed to be highly transmissible and quickly spreading. The European Union is expected to block air travel from Southern Africa. Several member states have already moved to impose their own restrictions, following the UK and several Asian countries. Word of the new variant rattled investors. Markets in Tokyo and Hong Kong closed more than 2% lower, and U.S. futures fell as well. Sources tell the Journal that some of China's biggest state-owned firms are restricting the use of a messaging app from Tencent. They cited security concerns and ordered employees to stop using some group chat features. The move comes as Beijing tightens its oversight of the company, which is China's most valuable. Earlier this week, Beijing told app stores Tencent must get government approval before launching new apps. Russian authorities have opened a criminal investigation into Thursday's coal mine explosion in Siberia. It killed 52 people and dozens more were injured. Here's Moscow Bureau Chief Ann Simmons.
Two senior state inspectors have been detained. Authorities say that these inspectors said that they had basically signed off on having inspected the mine this month, but in fact they had not.
There was a methane explosion at the same mine in 2004. Since 2000, there have been at least 11 major mining accidents with at least 10 deaths, according to official data. And U.S. air travel took off leading up to Thanksgiving. The Transportation Security Administration said that at least 2 million people traveled through airports for 7 days in a row. That's a streak not seen since the pandemic began. Airlines have managed the rush without major hiccups, though Sunday is expected to be the busiest travel day yet. The thinking on Wall Street goes that flashy growth stocks tend to do well in an era of low interest rates. Without the chance to capitalize elsewhere, stocks that are expected to offer fast profit look pretty appealing. But toss inflation into that mix, and the higher interest rates that follow usually start to look good to investors. That is how things normally work. Joining us is reporter Ben Dummett. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Let's set this up. High inflation leads to the Fed raising rates, which makes bonds and the like more attractive. But we're seeing individual investors keep putting money into these growth stocks. What's going on?
Well, I think, you know, individual investors are really being driven these days by momentum, share price momentum. So as long as the stock price is rising, they'll continue buying it. And when they see signs of that momentum waning, that's a signal for them to sell. You know, it's really been driven by the price gains we saw earlier this year in stocks like GameStop and Hertz that just soared despite shaky fundamentals.
We should say that the Fed hasn't yet raised rates, but it indicates that it will next year or begin to do so next year. What stocks are performing particularly well right now? And what do those tell us about the broader economy?
Some of the best performing stocks are sort of big name tech stocks like Apple, Advanced Micro Devices, and which is a chip maker, and then NVIDIA, another big chip maker. In terms of what it says about the economy, the overall economy, it suggests that even though inflationary concerns are an issue for at least parts of the market, it shows that inflation hasn't become or shown itself to be a real problem. And that's actually backed by the fact that bond yields remain at historical lows. And gold prices, for example, which are typically a hedge against inflationary pressures, have actually subsided from their recent rally, which is another sign that overall the market is taking a more wait-and-see approach to inflation and how it plays out.
We've been talking about individual investors. What about institutional investors? What are they doing right now?
They're actually playing it a little more cautious than individual or retail investors. They're hedging their positions by selling some of their, you're taking profit in some of their tech names, given the gains we've seen, and they're rotating into more defensive stocks in the manufacturing and pharmaceutical sectors. Companies that have strong balance sheets that aren't priced to perfection and carry more reasonable valuations, and therefore they're in a better position to withstand any kind of sell-off if inflation becomes a big problem.
Less flashy.
Exactly.
That is Markets Reporter Ben Dummett. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
Coming up, remember how online retail was supposed to knock out brick and mortar altogether? Yeah, that didn't quite happen.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
For years, the story went that the internet was going to kill the brick-and-mortar store. Turns out that in 2021, e-commerce needs those in-person shops after all. U.S. retailers are on track to open more stores than they close for the first time since 2017. So what's changed? To learn about the evolving relationship between online and in-person retail, we are joined on this Black Friday by Suzanne Kapner, who covers the retail industry. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And let's start with that statistic. More shops will actually open in 2021 than close. That seems like a big deal, and it happens amid a global pandemic, no less. So what's going on?
Well, if you go back 3 or 4 years, we had a record number of store closures. So a lot of that excess capacity has come out. A lot of unhealthy retailers filed for bankruptcy. They closed a lot of stores. Some of them went away altogether. And so now all those closings have sort of petered out a bit. But if you look at the numbers, the stores that are really opening the most stores are the dollar stores, convenience stores, off-price retailers like TJ Maxx. The apparel retailers and department stores that were struggling the most, they're still closing more stores than they're opening, but the difference is that they're not closing as many. The numbers have come down a lot from those record levels.
I think some people might hear about online retailers needing a physical presence and automatically think of Amazon opening a department store, but it's more than that, right? Tell us about UNTUCKit, a company I admit that I had never heard of before.
Well, I spoke with the founder who said that when he started his brand in 2010, he had no intention of opening physical stores, but he would get emails from prospective customers saying, you know, I really like your shirts, but I don't want to buy them unless I can try them on. And so he opened a store and he saw that that really boosted digital sales. And now he notices whenever he opens a store within a 10-mile radius of that store, online sales really go up a lot. So it's just a very integral relationship between the store and the online.
Wow. How common is that story?
You see that really across a lot of these brands that got their start online, whether it's Warby Parker, which before the pandemic, they were getting more sales from their stores than they were from their website and digital business. Obviously, that changed a little bit during the pandemic when stores were temporarily closed. But Allbirds, which just went public, they've said in financial filings that they're on a path to opening hundreds of stores in the future. So you really are seeing that with a lot of these brands that started out online.
Are these companies operating like the pandemic is over? I mean, are these just moves for the future?
Well, a lot of these moves were actually, they started during the pandemic when the stores were temporarily closed to customers, but they could serve online customers. They could serve as fulfillment centers that people could pick up online orders by driving up to the store. So all of a sudden, these stores took on new roles during the pandemic, and those roles are not going away.
One of the interesting things in your story was about landlords really looking to get people back, really looking to get retailers back. So they're cutting deals right now. How big of a deal is that to this growth in physical presence?
It's definitely helping, and some of it is temporary. I think some of it will be more longer lasting. Certainly, a reduction in rent is probably a temporary thing. As the market normalizes, rents are going to kind of go back up. But another big change is leases are now very often done on a percentage of sales. So that gives a retailer comfort. If they go through a little bit of a downturn, their rent will adjust along with their sales. So they won't be stuck paying all this rent at a time when sales are declining a bit. So it just adds some flexibility in the system. Also, leases are shorter than they used to be. They used to be a decade or more. Now, landlords are more willing to offer shorter term leases. So if a store is not working out, a retailer can get out. They're not going to be stuck there for years. So all of that is, I think, giving retailers a little bit more confidence to try out a store. If it doesn't work, they're not going to be stuck there.
Do you think this relationship, you know, the way things look right now with online retailers having a bigger physical footprint, is this going to stick around for a while, or is this just kind of a short trend here?
We're in a store opening phase right now for a lot of retailers, and that will probably continue until we get to a point where we are overstored again or where you have another big shakeout. So one interesting thing that an expert told me, the retailers that were closing stores, it wasn't that they had too many stores, it was that they had a problem with their brand. So we got to a period where we had a lot of weak retailers that were struggling, and they were the ones closing stores. And we had a lot of bankruptcies during the past year or two. That's taken a lot of those players away. And so for now, we're in a, seems to be in a bit of a healthier position. But if we get to a point again where you've got a lot of players with too much debt or sales that are slumping, you're probably going to see another round of store closures.
Suzanne Kapner, she covers the retail industry. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, you regular listeners know that this is the beginning of a less than ordinary holiday shopping season. The supply chain issues rippling through the global economy have made things hard to get, including gifts. And if you plan on giving gadgets this year, personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown says, fear not, you have options.
Well, what do you do if you are one of those last minute shoppers during a global chip shortage? So when it comes to iPhones, the latest lineup, if you can't get your hand on those, or if you can't get your hands on the latest Apple Watch, buying the previous generations from Apple will be just fine. What experts were telling me was you should consider buying older model devices or refurbished devices from official resellers is probably a good place to start.
And that's what's news for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.